Today's episode is brought to you by our company, Sales Schema. Sales Schema helps agencies and B2B service companies build a reliable business development system through tasteful and targeted outreach. To learn more about us and check out our latest video training, go to salesschema.com/takecharge.
On our side, we're very focused on the advertising side and basically running direct response ads on the YouTube channel. What we found is typically you need to be very engaging because people are used to very engaging content on YouTube, right? So you kind of need to grab their attention. And if you're too slow, if you're too quiet, often your ad's going to get ignored. But if you're funny and if you are able to grab their attention right from the get-go, which is what we call a hook, right? Like a really strong hook, then usually your ad will perform well. So a really great ad is something that, you know, it doesn't feel sleazy or too direct because it's funny, right? Like you can be, the more funny you are, the more direct you can be, or the more engaging you are, the more direct you can be as well, right? So when we think of something like the ShamWow infomercials, right? They are so funny that you don't mind the fact that it's like such a direct sales pitch. So that's something to keep in mind. In general, I would say that creativity is rewarded. If you create an ad that people haven't seen an ad like that, that also is rewarded.
Welcome to the Digital Agency Growth Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Englander. Today's episode is sponsored by our company, Sales Schema, and we are a fractional new business team for marketing agencies and related marketing service companies. Even if you're not at the point of being able to hire a company like ours, I still want to do my best to help out. And today we are giving away access to our most recent recorded video training titled Relationship-Driven New Business at Scale, emphasis on at scale. This is all about how we secure 5 to 20 weekly brand agency relationships for each one of our clients using tasteful email outreach centered on personal and or business commonalities. A few things we cover. We cover the two big shifts that have created a huge need for this approach and why we think you should rethink the way your agency builds relationships and does new business. We cover the specifics on dozens of commonalities that we have used successfully to build relationships between agencies and brand side decision makers. We cover a simple follow-up process that you can use for your team, even if you're busy, even if you're in a mixed role between sales and client service. And we cover actual copy examples that you can use to get inspired and build your own campaigns. So if you'd like to get access to the video training, which runs about 30 minutes or so, you can do that by going to salesschema.com/relationships. Again, salesschema.com/relationships, plural. So today's episode is all about video marketing, which regrettably is a topic we have a gap with. We have yet to cover it enough. And today's guest is in a really good position to talk about YouTube, talk about what's working, what's not, and so on. So that guest is Shash Singh. Shash is the CEO of Lynx Digital, which oversees multi-7-figure YouTube ad spend management. And over the last 5 years, his agency has become one of the leading YouTube ad agencies in the game. They've worked with clients like Prodigy Game, Kinobody, Amazon Selling Machine, and more. And in addition to running his agency, Shash speaks 5 languages. He likes to ride motorcycles and surf the Brazilian coast. He's a digital nomad and has lived in numerous countries around the world, which we've gotten into. And I think we're in an interesting time. I wasn't at the Motorcycle Diaries level of digital nomadism, but I did that for a little while. And it was kind of interesting, you know, seeing others wake up to that possibility over the last couple of years. So Shash definitely has an interesting perspective on that and what it's like running a remote team and so on. So I think you're going to get a lot out of this episode. And without further ado, please give it up for Shash Singh. Shash, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me on here.
Yeah, for sure. So we talked before I threw on the record button about digital nomadism, I guess. And I have sort of like a slightly divested relationship from it. Now I'm like more stuck and boring in the States, but I miss it. But without going down that rabbit hole, I'd love to just learn a little bit more about your background and kind of how you stuck the flag in YouTube, basically, and said like, YouTube is the place I'm going to play ball.
Absolutely. So I'm from Toronto, Canada. And yeah, when I was younger, I used to run an SEO agency and I wasn't really very good at it. Wasn't my thing. I felt like the amount of time it takes to see feedback when you're doing something like SEO is very, very long. And when I first tried YouTube ads, which was basically for this guy named Greg O'Gallagher, who runs Kinobody. And at that point, I'd never run paid ads before, and it was just a random kind of coincidence that he needed to run YouTube ads. He didn't really know anybody. And he was like, Shash, you're doing some free, you did some SEO work for me. I did some free stuff for him as a way to offer value. And he's like, okay, run these YouTube ads for me. I don't really know anybody else. I want to go viral like Ty Lopez. And we ran those ads. And within a few weeks, spending like $5,000 a day, making 10 to 15K back, I thought, okay, this is up my lane because I'm doing something that's bringing immediate results. I have no issues with justifying what I'm charging. And basically from there, I decided to go all in on YouTube ads. I learned a lot of other kind of stuff as well, like Facebook ads, email marketing, etc. But I decided after 6 months or so of kind of, you know, messing around with different things, okay, I got to just focus in on YouTube ads. And that's somewhere where I can kind of build my agency. After a while of freelancing, I came to a realization, thanks to my friend Ryan, who runs an email marketing agency, I came to a realization that, hey, I got to build an agency instead of being a freelancer who's like trying to do a bunch of stuff. So I basically focused on building Links Digital, which is our YouTube advertising agency.
That's awesome. So dig into that a little bit. So you mentioned, you know, X years ago, you sort of started on YouTube ads and tried a bunch of other things. What was it that made you settle on YouTube ads versus Facebook or email marketing or any of these other channels?
Well, I mean, the first was I had a really good case study. The second was there wasn't that much competition. And we did do some Facebook ads. You know, clients would come in, sometimes they'd want Facebook ads, and we would do that. Even now, we have like one or two clients where we run some Facebook for them. But our focus is primarily on YouTube, right? People come to us for YouTube ads. That's our main service. And that's where we put most of our effort into developing an infrastructure for servicing that exact kind of client, right?
Yeah, makes sense. And just so everybody can kind of wrap their head around it, can you talk a little bit about what you're doing? You know, say a new client comes in the door, how are you typically getting set up, and what, from a high level, what services are you running for them these days?
Right. So our main focus is YouTube advertising management. So what we'll do is we will script creatives, we will manage the whole production process. For example, if they're an e-commerce company, we'll go find production agencies. We have like a whole bunch of partner agencies we work with. We'll supervise them. Then once they deliver the final product, we'll make a bunch of edits, and then we'll run those ads and manage those ads. And so basically we do the whole creative direction and the creative scripting, and as well as the technical ad optimization, ad management side, the tracking, pretty much anything that's involved. The only piece we don't do directly is the production side, and that's usually where we'll work with other agencies that specialize in video production, but we'll give them the exact instructions and supervise them. So that's kind of what we do. The only reason we don't do the whole production side is just because of the fact that that's just another whole business, right? Running the whole video production agency, that would be completely different.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And when you started, you know, the agency X years ago, and you had that great case study, how have things changed? You know, what were you doing back then that might have changed up until today?
Right. So I started the agency January of 2018. I very clearly remember that before that, me and my friend Ryan, we went to the mountains of Colombia to kind of figure out our plans. And we both agreed upon a goal, 100K a month. And we were being a little delusional. We thought we could hit it in 1 year. And his agency is an email marketing agency, right? So we basically are in the mountains of Colombia with a mastermind. We're like, okay, we got to really start hiring people. We can't just, you know, do this alone. And we decided on that goal. And from January of 2018, basically my only hire at that point is my current business partner, who was part-time helping me with some of the ads. So he was helping me. And then from there, I think first hire was kind of a part-time finance and project manager person. And then a few months later, we would hire our first basically media buyer, and we flew him down to Colombia to train him, a great guy named Armin. He's now one of the big heavy hitters in the copywriting world. So he basically came in and we worked with him. And essentially at that point, we didn't really have any processes. I would make some processes, but it was essentially a very weak infrastructure. As time went on, we built out more processes, more systems. I think the biggest difference between the early days and now is in the early days, we were focused mostly on just running the ads, and we would script the ads for them, but we had no editing team. We had no basically creative team, right? And now we have like a creative team where we have a creative coordinator and a few editors. And then on top of that, we have processes for everything, right? So we have basically account managers and media buyers, while in the past, it was just one person doing everything in the team, right? So it was essentially a very small team in the beginning. And now it's basically more of a bigger team where you have multiple people that, you know, they're specialized in different roles, right? So there's basically creative coordinator role, there's media buying roles, there's basically account management roles. And from there, we also have, you know, obviously part-time finance and bookkeeping. And yeah, those are kind of the major roles in the business.
Yeah, that makes sense. So it sounds like you guys have kind of grown at this steady and healthy pace. There's a few different directions I'd love to go down. I think the first is I'd love to hear kind of how you feel, how you think about specialization. You know, you go on your site and it talks all about YouTube ads, you know, YouTube strategy that's already kind of focused on one particular platform entirely. And then you're also kind of niched down to info products and e-commerce. I think a lot of agencies and a lot of people in our world would very easily branch out, for better or worse, often worse, right? Where they'd say, okay, great, we've killed it for this info product company. Why don't we do everything in the world for info product companies? Or, hey, we're doing really well with YouTube ads. Why don't we do, you know, YouTube ads for everyone and their mother? So I'd love to hear kind of how you've decided to stay focused on a few areas.
Yeah, I think on the agency side, specialization makes sense. So staying focused in on maybe one or two services for one or two niches at most, right? Like really keeping that lower, because then that reduces the complexity and allows you to streamline everything for that niche or basically that industry. And yeah, I think that's just essential. Now, we have two parts of the business, right? We have the agency side and the training side. And on the training side, we actually are much more open, where on the training side, we'll teach anybody and everybody, just because of the fact that that's a lot easier to deliver. While on the agency side, if you're doing something for somebody, it's much easier to just focus in on one or two niches.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. I definitely want to get into the training side in a second. First, a little sidebar on nomadism and all that. I come from that world originally. And, you know, I remember like starting our company in like 2014 and being like at a coffee shop in Rio trying to do a sales call. Actually, that would have been a little later, but let's say a similar situation. And just, you know, I remember it being harder. I remember getting more skepticism, you know, when people were like, hey, are you off, you know, some far flung place on earth? Can we really trust you? We're a big company. We're traditional. And then like that just started gradually changing and people stopped caring as much. And then with COVID, I don't think even the biggest companies on earth, I don't know how much they care. I'd love to hear your experience with it. Like, what are the pros and cons of being nomadic and running, you know, what seems to be a very successful agency?
Yeah. So I think the pros are when you have a virtual team, you have much more ability to basically hire based on skill set and not based on geography, right? If you have an office, you're kind of limited to that local pool. While in our case, we can hire people from a lot of different places, and that kind of broadens our pool of people we can work with, and also gives us some competitive advantages because we can kind of use geo arbitrage to hire people. As everybody knows, the US market is extremely expensive in terms of, you know, if you want to hire somebody from the US, while other countries offer much more bang for the buck. And as a company, because of our legal structure, we can't hire Americans anyway. So it ends up working out where we have very talented people working from all over the world, whether it be, you know, some Canadians who are kind of working for us, or Brazilians, even Colombians, Eastern Europeans, et cetera. So usually I find that that's a definitely a big advantage. You get to work with people all over the world and usually get some good deals out of it. And in terms of people being skeptical, et cetera, I've never had an issue. I think it's because probably the niches I'm in, which is info products and e-commerce, there's really never been issues with that. We've also worked with SaaS companies. Again, we've had no issues with that. And we've worked with like SaaS companies that are like, one of them is one of the fastest growing tech startups in Canada, right? So it's not exactly something where we've ever had an issue with being nomadic. And I would say the pros of being lightweight definitely outweigh, for me at least, outweigh the whole pros of having everybody in one spot. Now, obviously, there are pros and cons, right? Like if you have everybody in one spot, you can definitely build a stronger culture and you can definitely be able to be in faster sync while in being nomadic. and being a virtual kind of company, you really need to put an effort to do that, right? Like you really need to put an effort to talk to people and ask them, hey, what's going on? And, you know, have regular touch points. So I think that's a really big pro and con. But for me, it was like, it was basically a decision that I would just run a completely online agency, right? Like my goal isn't to have a huge agency. My goal is to be able to travel the world while basically building kind of fun company and also financing the ability to travel and building wealth, right? So it's not really, my goal is at no point was like, hey, I want the maximum amount of money. My goal was, hey, how can I kind of live this lifestyle I want to live while also being able to generate income and wealth, but not necessarily like extreme amounts of income and wealth, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And that's where I was for a long time. And I think in a lot of ways, that way of thinking is becoming more mainstream, you know, as the world just kind of flipped remote overnight. So I'm excited to see where it goes. And with that, I think one interesting thing is how you're partnering with production agencies. Because I think a lot of people listening, whether they're in the video space or not, are used to, you know, finding partnerships for their agency, filling in gaps where they can't fill. So I'd love, you know, to hear your advice on that. You know, how are you sourcing partners? How symbiotic are these partnerships? Like, are you bringing in the client and then the production company serving them? Does that ever go the other way around? I'd love to just kind of hear what's worked in terms of harnessing partnerships.
Absolutely. So I would definitely say that in terms of the production agencies, we do sometimes get referrals from them, but it's definitely more of something like we just needed to find the best production agency for our budget. And that was the essential goal there, right? We weren't really thinking about like, hey, this is a symbiotic relationship. It was purely down to the fact that, hey, we gotta fix this issue because, you know, it's a bit back in the past, the onus would be on the client and that wasn't working, right? So we had to figure out a way to solve that issue. So I think we could definitely do better in terms of getting referrals back from them. I don't think that's just been top of mind for us because it's been more about with the production agency, it's been more about let's find somebody who's good and yeah, basically work with them. Where we've had better success with cross referrals is with partner agencies. So I have friends who run agencies and because of that, you know, we're able to trade referrals and so on. So that's definitely worked.
Yeah, that makes sense. And it's one of those things that I can sympathize with in some ways because we do prospecting primarily for agencies and other B2B service companies. And it's one of these situations where, you know, we're not in control of the entire value chain. And that's the challenge with our sort of business is that we're getting meetings. We're not so much in charge of how people are closing them. So more recently, you know, we're putting people in touch with sales coaching or, you know, headhunters that can help them find good people or whatever like that. So it seems like it might be a similar situation where, you know, you guys aren't really overseeing the whole thing unless you have a production company you can really trust, you know, so that's why I'm curious about it. Is there anything that you've done to kind of find good partnerships or like, you know, deal with production companies that are better? Are you guys, for example, are you guys working with like one company over the course of years or is every project going to be like a different company typically?
Usually there's a couple of dependable ones. I think just a matter of trying out different agencies. We've had good luck with one agency that's it's a little bit cheaper and we got really lucky with them because they definitely helped us out a lot with various clients. And yeah, so we've had probably one agency we've worked with for a while, probably like 1.5 years. And then we have some others that we'll test out here and there. And sometimes we'll decide to give them repeat projects and so on. So currently it's basically, you know, I mean, to be fair, we don't really need like a huge number of partnerships, right? We just need to have like, okay, this agency is good for this and this agency is good for that. So yeah, basically just go out there and find people, look at their work and give them a test project. And if they perform, then give them more test projects.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And it's such a hard thing to do well because it's the opposite of what you're doing and you know what a lot of agencies are doing, where it's so location dependent. If you're shooting something, you've got to pretty much be there. So it takes people that are down for that basically in one way or another. So I do want to get to the training, but first I'd love to talk a little bit about YouTube, you know, as a channel. Mm-hmm. This might be kind of slightly meandering, but I think it's almost like this year, you know, has just made us so numb to things that are shocking. and YouTube is one of these platforms where there's so much shock at all times, right? Where there's everything's being optimized. You've got these thumbnails that are so vibrant and you've got the best copy in the world and everything just kind of makes you want to click. It's like the ultimate rabbit hole. Where I've noticed personally, I love to hear what you've seen, is that the stuff that tends to grab my attention is like subtle. It's like less explosive. So I'd love to hear, what do you think of the YouTube landscape these days? What do you see from a high level to be effective?
Yeah. So, I mean, on our side, we're very focused on the advertising side and basically running direct response ads on the YouTube channel. What we found is typically you need to be very engaging, because people are used to very engaging content on YouTube, right? So you kind of need to grab their attention. And basically, if you're too slow, if you're too quiet, often your ad's going to get ignored. But if you're funny and if you are able to grab their attention right from the get-go, which is what we call a hook, right? Like a really strong hook, then usually your ad will perform well. So a really great ad is something that, you know, it doesn't feel sleazy or too direct because it's funny, right? Like you can be, the more funny you are, the more direct you can be, or the more engaging you are, the more direct you can be as well, right? So when we think of something like the ShamWow infomercials, right? They are so funny that you don't mind the fact that it's like such a direct sales pitch. So that's something to keep in mind. In general, I would say that creativity is rewarded. If you create an ad that people haven't seen an ad like that, that also is rewarded. We have a structure we follow where basically we want to make sure there's certain persuasive elements. And as long as you follow that core structure, then you can be very creative with it, right? So the core structure is you want to have a strong hook. You want to build authority and credibility. You want to show them what your product is about and the benefits it has, not the features, right? You want to show them the end benefits. And then from there, you want to have very clear, strong call to actions, which tell them, hey, click this link above or below to go on a website and purchase this, or opt in for our case study, or so on, right? Like tell them exactly what to do when they click. And from there, what you can do is you will want to add some social proof, some testimonials. You want to give them more meat after the first call to action, so that essentially people who are already convinced by the first 45 seconds, they'll click on that first call to action when you just tell them, hey, go do this. And then you'll give more content and more meat to people and then have a second call to action. So that's kind of the basic gist of it. But you can just really modify it as you see fit, as long as those core elements are hit. And pretty much every single good YouTube ad I see kind of follows those core elements, right? Where they'll have some social proof. They'll build authority and credibility. They'll show how their product works and the benefits of it versus the features. And those are the main keys. Now, once you do that, you'll have an ad that's either between, at the low side, 50 seconds long to maybe a few minutes long. I've seen ads that are longer do better, but typically for us, we find the sweet spot is between 1 and 3 minutes. Our best ads have been around 1 and 2 minutes.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So there's a lot to get into there. I guess one question that I have is like, how do you think about expectations? Like, for example, what are most companies expecting when they're interested in doing a YouTube campaign on their first go around versus how are you setting or resetting expectations about that? As a quick break, I wanted to let you know about our newest video training, How to Take Charge of Your Agency's Future Revenue. By the end of this training, you're going to learn how we get 2 to 5 qualified appointments every week using tasteful and highly targeted email outreach. That might not sound like a lot, but once you understand the outreach napkin math, you're going to learn how this can lead to massive scale for your agency or B2B service company. In addition to that, you're going to learn the 6 steps for successful outreach campaigns based on everything that we've learned from working with more than 100 agencies since 2014. You're going to get the complete agency outreach tech stack so you understand the right tools for getting the right results. And you're going to see agency to brand email examples and get inspiration from high converting campaigns. So to get this 30-minute training, all you need to do is go to salesschema.com/take charge. Again, that's salesschema.com/take charge.
Yeah, so one of the key pieces with YouTube advertising is you really need to solve a major pain point. If you don't solve a major pain point with your product, it's going to be tougher. Basically, what we've seen is the products that are, you can clearly pinpoint the 1 or 2 pain points they solve, and the ad is completely focused on that, they do really well. On the other hand, if you have something like, let's say you're selling furniture and it looks pretty and it looks cool, and let's say somebody who's kind of in a bored mindset and they're in your target demographic, they would look at it and potentially buy. But on YouTube, they're already about to do something, right? So unless it's really something that grabs their attention and solves a major pain point in their life, usually you'll get less of those curiosity buys. So to recap, you want to solve pain points. And products that don't solve a very clear pain point will typically perform a little better on Facebook than on YouTube. And another thing to keep in mind is Facebook and YouTube have differences. Facebook is an amazing platform to get started, right? It's easy to get those low-hanging fruits and to get to spending $100 to $200 a day profitably. YouTube is far better for scaling. And typically, in my experience, you can take YouTube ad campaigns to much higher levels and be able to spend $10,000, $20,000 a day if you really have something that has broad appeal. While on Facebook, that's a lot harder to do. However, the downside of that is YouTube, typically the algorithm isn't as good as finding the low-hanging fruit, and your marketing needs to be generally better to do well on YouTube, right? YouTube is much more of a winner-takes-all scenario where companies that really put in the effort to figuring out the platform, to having a very clear message and great video ads will typically perform extremely well, while the rest of the people who give it a shot and they give it a half kind of shot, they're not really going to have much success, right? So that's one of the things with YouTube is it's definitely a platform where you can have extreme success, but it requires more upfront work and more upfront tweaking and testing. And because of that, one of the things I say is, hey, if you're going to do YouTube, commit to it for a few months, understand that you might have to test different iterations of ads, of landing pages, tweak your message and so on. But the end reward is very, very worth it because I've seen so many companies just blow up with YouTube, right? Like you've had companies like Dollar Shave Club that have literally gotten billion-dollar exits with YouTube ads. And it's generally when it works like just so, so well, right?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So kind of back to expectations, you don't have to get into specific numbers if you don't want to, but what does it really take to play ball on YouTube, you know, in terms of time, rough investment and that sort of thing versus like, what are people typically expecting when they haven't done it before?
Yeah. So I would say on the client side, on the agency side, we typically only take on clients that are willing to spend at least $300 to $500 a day on testing and are willing to stick it out for a couple months, right? So that's just basically our requirement for taking on a client. If they say they're not comfortable with that, we basically tell them, hey, yeah, this isn't going to be a good fit. On the people who are just doing their own brands and they're doing the testing themselves, I would recommend a minimum budget of at least $100 to $200 a day. You can get away with $100 a day if you're, you know, testing different ads and so on. And the reason, obviously, for that disparity between agency and the basically, if you're doing it yourself or for our training clients, right, where we say $100 to $200 a day is for our training clients, et cetera, they're not paying a monthly retainer, right? It's just not worth it unless you're testing with a few hundred dollars a day to pay a monthly retainer to an agency, right? Especially because YouTube ads, it is more expensive service to fulfill, right? Because the creative side requires so much manpower, right? That doing all that editing is expensive. So typically with a Facebook ads account, it's very easy to charge significantly lower and still be profitable on the agency side. Well, for YouTube ads, you kind of have to charge more. So that's kind of what I ask in terms of clients. Now, the pro side is because of the fact that there's so few people doing YouTube ads, it's typically easier to get YouTube ad clients than, you know, let's say getting Facebook ad clients.
Yeah, makes sense. And it's a harder thing to do well. So no free lunch kind of thing. And with that, I would love to talk about platform risk a little bit. I think just this week or maybe, you know, the last few weeks, we've finally seen the chickens come home to roost for the Apple Facebook turmoil, right? Where like now it seems from my friends in the space, it sounds like CPMs are skyrocketing. Who knows how that'll play out? So I'd love to hear how you think about platform risk. You know, is there, if it's probably unlikely, but if something like that happened with YouTube and the CPM skyrocketed and it got to a place where only like Fortune 500 companies could advertise on YouTube, is there a plan B that you're thinking about or use nothing like that to begin with?
So, I mean, the platform risk thing is a good point. Typically, one of the reasons that a lot of people work with us or go on YouTube ads is because they've had their Facebook ad account suspended, or they realize that, hey, they had a close call, but their account was suspended for a couple of weeks. And they realize that, hey, we need to de-risk and get off just relying on Facebook ads and get on to other platforms as well. So that's actually been a big reason why people work with us and why basically people want to learn YouTube ads. They want to de-risk from Facebook. Now, generally, my thinking on this is if you're a really good marketer and if you have really good marketing, you will do well, right? There's always going to be competition. There's always going to be rising ad costs, right? But generally, what it means is it just weeds out the weaker competitors, right? So essentially, you just have to have a clear marketing message. And yeah, you should be doing multi-platform, right? Like on our side, we do Facebook and search for certain clients, but our focus is on YouTube. And if, let's say, YouTube just stops working for whatever reason, and or like it's only Fortune 500s that can afford it, which I doubt that will happen, right? Then obviously we would diversify out to other platforms or other geographies, et cetera. If you're in marketing and you're basically doing this whole, you're in this whole industry, there's always ways to generate customers and leads, right? You know, let's say if basically YouTube and Facebook ads become incredibly expensive, you're going to see new ad platforms prop up. You're going to see people maybe trying out more offline ways. I don't think there's ever something where it's like, oh, advertising is just going to be too expensive, except for just the Fortune 500s, because human beings have been advertising for millennia, right? Like small businesses have always had ways to get customers, right? Obviously, now it's much better because technology has made things more efficient. And because of that, it has created this window of opportunity where small advertisers can do it much more easily than before. But there's going to be new technologies, new ways of advertising and marketing where it's just going to make it easier. So I'm not worried about that. I think ultimately, if you know how to do your marketing, you can figure out ways to just improve things.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And it's kind of a recurring theme on this show where we get, you know, successful agency owners on and kind of making the case that specialization is usually a bit less risky than it seems. You know, worst case scenario, YouTube becomes too expensive. You're either working with bigger clients or just pivoting to a slightly different platform as opposed to reinventing the wheel each time, which makes a lot of sense. So with that, it sounds like now the main focus is the done with you model, you know, training. So I'd love to just maybe go like a couple steps before that. Like, what did it take to get to the point of deciding, okay, you know, what's moved to this model?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, we're still doing the agency. So I have two business partners, right? And one of them, he's completely focused on the agency. Another is half on the agency and half on the basically done with you model. And I'm completely at this current point on the done with you model. And the reason for that is essentially, I personally enjoy that model a lot. I think generally, I feel like it's a lot more enjoyable for me, right? Because I get to, you know, have basically jump on the calls with the students, but it's done in a way where I have my time, right? It's like, you know, we have an hour a week and people very much understand the limits of the relationship. While on the agency side, I definitely feel that sometimes, hey, there's a lot more of whale risk, right? When you're working with clients and you're working with a client that just, you know, you scale them and they're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars and now you're kind of dependent on them, right? But they obviously are dependent on you because you're making them a lot of money. But at the same time, it can lead to a lot of instability. And I know that's something that a lot of agencies have figured out by, you know, different methods. But in our case, with our agency, because of the fact that, you know, we're doing YouTube ads and we would have basically like a portfolio of clients and some of them will just be able to scale them up to like spending $300,000, $400,000 a month. And then when you're getting that kind of revenue, it just leads to, you know, basically big fluctuations in revenue. And so, yeah, the training model is something which I like because it's very scalable. It's very enjoyable. I love working with my students. And basically, because it's done in a way where the responsibility is undone, right? Like, it's like nobody buys a training and expects that, hey, it will magically turn them into an amazing advertiser. They know they have to put in the work for it, right? So you're not essentially getting blamed for things outside of your control. And generally, because of that, it's very, very much less stress. And it's much more of a return based on kind of the work put in, right? So instead of having this huge infrastructure to service them, it's a much smaller infrastructure for much more revenue. Now, obviously, there are downsides. It's not monthly recurring because we do charge a one-time fee for joining our training program. But in general, I would definitely say I'm very excited for it because I see it as being able to scale extremely fast, right? I think it's much easier to scale a training program to 100K a month than an agency to 100K a month.
Yeah, that's super interesting. And I think that's something we've toyed with here. I think a lot of agencies have. So the first question is, how do you sort of determine the customer profile for somebody that's going to be interested in the training versus the done for you model? Like, what I found is that a lot of the times when I've tried to sell training to a big enough company, they get to a point and they're just like, just do it for us. We'll pay you more to do it. You know, we don't have time. We've got a lot of competing priorities. Just take care of it. And then what I kept finding was that the training was usually a better fit for smaller agencies or people that are in an earlier starting point or something. Have you found the same thing? And I'd love to hear kind of how you thought about the buyer profile for the training versus the done for you.
Absolutely. Some people just want done for you. So we send them over to our done for you program. And then some people want just want training, right? And I find though they're very clear in that their people are usually either want one or the other. There's some people who just want to have the control and they want to do it themselves. And there's some people who don't want to have to deal with it and they just want done for you, right? So ultimately it's a perfect fit, right? Because then we're able to basically have two offerings based on what they want. And yeah, typically our customer profile for the training program, we get a lot of agencies, a lot of basically agency owners end up buying the course and the training program to basically get help to scale their clients on YouTube, right? Because it's essentially an additional revenue stream. Like you don't really have to get new clients for it. You can literally just upsell it to existing clients and kind of increase your retainer significantly. So that's one big part of it. And then obviously we got info product sellers. So people who have their own offers and they want to learn how to do it. We have e-commerce store owners. We have some affiliate marketers. We also have people who are basically doing solar lead gen or mortgages, et cetera. So we got a whole wide bunch. And essentially the main thing is the YouTube system, the system we teach works for all of them, right? And then we create niche specific training. So for example, we had a local agency owner come through our program, Marius, and he just absolutely crushed it, right? And right now he's spending like over $1 million a month. And he essentially very kind of him, he did a training for us where he actually showed like what he was doing to get these kind of YouTube ad results in the local niche. So, right, like he took my program and my kind of YouTube ad recommendations, applied them to local, which is a little different because it's a lot kind of more specific. You have different creatives, et cetera. And then he was able to get those results and then share those results with us with the training. So we tried to do that. We always try to bring in experts who are focused in on certain things, right? So like we'll basically bring in these different experts to provide the training. And then based on that, we're able to service all these different niches while being very efficient. Because once you build a training once, it can kind of be used over and over again. So that's kind of our focus with the training program. It's we're focused on just getting, you know, anybody who wants to learn YouTube ads, get them really good results.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And with that, to take a step back a little bit, can you talk a little bit about new business? Like historically, how are you getting prospects for the agency side? And then how did you get yourself out of that sales seat? Because I think that's a big challenge for lots of agency owners.
Yeah, essentially on the agency side, so prospecting, Upwork was our first major one. We actually got some big clients from Upwork, surprisingly, but Upwork is always solid and dependable. If I'm starting an agency today, or if I'm starting out as a freelancer, I would recommend Upwork. Like just do video proposals and Upwork. You'll get to at least launch velocity where you can kind of, you know, be able to quit your full-time job from there. Second is, so for us, we do a lot of organic marketing. So we have a Facebook group, we have a YouTube channel. So because of those two basically assets, which we've grown over time, we get a lot of leads from there. Third is we've definitely joined masterminds and high-level kind of courses where we've gotten a lot of clients. So one of them was Up-Level Consulting where, you know, we're in the info product space and that's a course on how to, you know, scale a course. So we essentially, I think we invested $6,000 into that program and probably got like six figures back just in sales from that one program, probably even more. So that high-level masterminds, one thing we've never really figured out is kind of like LinkedIn or cold email, any of these kind of more basically outreach based lead generation systems. And we've kind of tried them, dabbled in them. But right now my focus is on just scaling up both the organic and now we're doing paid ads. So we're generating leads through YouTube ads for our course and agency, right? So we'll essentially, they get to choose which call they want to be on, right? Like we give them in our families, like, hey, are you interested in done for you? Or do you want to learn how to do it? And that's also generating a decent number of leads now. So my focus right now is scale up the YouTube channel. We have team members helping with the making videos. So I'm just working on the system for that and making sure we're optimizing it better and doing the keyword research and so on better. And then the other side of it is scaling up paid advertising, which will benefit both the agency and the course, right?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So it sounds like you've sort of harnessed like inbound acquisition channels and that's allowed you to just kind of siphon people to the right place just in a really simple way. Just, hey, you want done with you or done for you. So you're not necessarily doing it based on like their headcount or anything like that, which is interesting. To talk about people a little bit. So can you talk about that? Like, how did you hire a salesperson right away? Were you in that sales seat or was a partner doing it? What was the sort of process of getting yourself out of that seat?
So I was doing sales calls for the first year and a half or so. We brought on Alex and he basically became our third partner and he's got huge sales experience, right? Like he sold in oil and gas. He's run local agencies. He's basically has like 12 plus years of sales experience. So he took over the sales stuff. And then what Alex did is he ended up finding a really great sales guy who right now, our salesperson, he handles all the course calls and he's closing like really, really well. So he's just bringing in sales left and right. And then he handles the first call on the agency side, right? The qualifying call. So on the agency side, there's like a two-step, there's like basically a 15-minute discovery qualification call. And then Alex jumps on to close the agency sales because typically the agency sales are a little bit more sophisticated in terms of they really want to get into the nitty-gritty. So it's probably 70% handled by our salesperson, but then Alex will obviously jump on those closing calls for the agency. And me, I haven't done a sales call in like a year and a half, which I feel good about because I don't like doing sales calls.
Yeah, that's really useful because I think a lot of agencies, even ones that have been around for a lot of years, have a lot of trouble getting the partners out of a sales position or getting them the right support and that sort of thing, which is a big thing we help with and everything. So with that, I mean, kind of getting towards the end of the time, I think you mentioned the done for you model and the training. Is there anything else that you're working on? Anything that you're excited about?
No, those are the two things. Well, basically, the one thing is just scaling up marketing for me. That's literally the only thing I do in my business is scaling up marketing. And yeah, that's what my focus is on. So I just try to stay in on that lane and leave the operations to my business partner, Alex, and the finance and HR to Neil. So essentially just building up this whole marketing infrastructure so we can just keep adding fuel to the fire. And that's kind of the way I like it. I don't like being very broad, right? It just stresses me out if I have like, oh, I got to worry about operations and I got to worry about marketing. It's just like, nope, all I think about is marketing and just that just makes me feel good.
Yeah. I'm kind of the same ilk and it's fun. It's more, it's creative and it's nice to be able to build a business on the things that you enjoy doing, right? Kind of a simple concept, but bears repeating. Shash, thank you so much for your time, man. How can people follow what you're up to, get in touch and so on?
For sure. So my YouTube channel, S-H-A-S-H and then S-I-N-G-H, and then it'll be Links Digital University. So Shash Singh, Links Digital University. A lot of content on there on YouTube ads. And our Facebook group is YouTube Ad Buyer. So I'll send you the links to those. And then our website, I'll send you the link as well. It's linksdigitalagency.com. So I really enjoyed being on here. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, likewise, Shash. Hopefully get you back on before long. Appreciate it.
Awesome.
Thanks for listening to this episode. Again, today's episode is sponsored by our company, Sales Schema. Sales Schema helps agencies and B2B service companies build a reliable business development system through tasteful and targeted outreach. To learn more about us and check out our latest video training, again, you can go to salesschema.com/take charge. Again, that's salesschema.com/take charge.